Well, you ready? All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for each one that's come here tonight to learn and to grow. And Father, we just open our hearts to receive from you. We pray, Father, that you would speak into our lives through your word and by your spirit tonight, and we receive it in Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about Jesus. I like to say that when people say, what are you going to preach, Jesus? Well, tonight it's pretty straight on, but we're going to talk about leading like Jesus. Jesus is the most influential person in history. Y'all have heard me say this before, but it just amazes me when my daughter was asked to write a paper in high school about the most influential person in history. They said, you can write about Hitler. You can write about anybody you want to. Just who you think is the most influential person in history. So she wrote about Jesus, and it made the teacher mad. She gave her a C because she wrote about Jesus. Not because the paper wasn't good, but she didn't like it. We went to talk to her, and she said, I'm a Christian. But Jesus wasn't the most influential person. Muhammad was more influential than Jesus. Leslie had cited references in her paper that there were, of all of those who named the name of Christ, who claimed to be some version of Christian, there are, well, this was 15 years, what, no, 10 years ago. Anyway, there are 2 billion Christians in the world. And by the way, only 1 billion Muslims. But anyway, moving right along. There's a reason that this is 2016. It is the 2016th year of our Lord. He is the pivotal point of history. I'm telling you, if leadership is about influence, then Jesus is the master. There is no other leader like Jesus. He has changed history. He's changed eternity for us. Amen? Jesus, he's the greatest leader of all time. He knows everything there is to know about leadership. We could learn a lot from Jesus. We would just hope to learn a little bit tonight about leadership. But leadership, listen, in case you don't already know this, well, even if you do, I just want to remind you, I want to get you thinking about this. Leadership is not about driving people. It's not about pushing people. Leadership is about leading. Position and title and still fail to lead anybody. And you can have no position or title and still have great influence. You can still lead people with no position or title. Now, when we have a position, when we have a title like boss, teacher, pastor, father, mother, then we have a greater opportunity to lead. And we also have a greater responsibility to lead. But all of us need to make the most of the opportunities that we're given to lead. You see, we need to make the most of the opportunities that we are given to impact other people's eternity. There's many passages of Scripture we could talk about Jesus in leadership and lots of different principles, but we're just going to focus on one passage tonight, John 10. We're going to read 11 through 16. I'm just going to read straight through it right now, and we'll kind of work back through it. But Jesus, in John 10, 11 through 16, this is what he says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of by mine or by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. By the way, just want to say it very clearly, shepherds don't drive sheep, they lead sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. He tells us in both verses 11 and 14, I am the good shepherd. If we're going to lead like Jesus, then we have to have good character. It is as simple as that. You know, just a couple of weeks ago on Father's Day, we talked about how to be honorable fathers, we have to have integrity. I want you to know there are a lot of people that have influence that are not good leaders, amen? I mean, there's a lot of celebrities and politicians and, well, even pastors and parents who have influence, but they're not good leaders. We have to decide if we're going to be good leaders or bad leaders. Are we going to influence those around us to serve God with a whole heart? Are we going to influence them to obey God and do what's right? Are we going to influence them to draw closer to God? Here's what Jesus said to some of the religious leaders of his day. Matthew 12:33-35. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. We're talking about having good character. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And Jesus said that a tree is known by its fruit. In other words, your influence, the impact that you have, the fruit of your life, it comes from inside you. Verse 34, get this. The lowly and kind and compassionate Jesus says, brood of vipers. You know, the only time that Jesus was ever harsh was with religious people who were hard-hearted. But he said, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? And I want to tell you, we can't have the right kind of influence if we don't have good character. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a good man, listen, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. He says, you got to make the tree good. You can't bear good fruit if you're not good. So how can you be good? Well, it's a matter of the heart. But listen, if you want to raise godly children, then you have to be godly. You know the old thing, drop them off at church. That's not how you get godly children. I'm not going to say it never works, but I'm just going to tell you that it won't be your influence that did it. Now, if you're here on a Wednesday night, it's pretty obvious you don't just drop them off at church. But I'm just saying there's a lot of people that try that, and hopefully somebody else will influence their child to be godly. But it won't be them, just saying. If you want to see others draw closer to God, then, well, we have to be drawing closer to God. He tells us in verse 35 that what comes out of our life is what we have stored or treasured in our heart. Listen, our influence on others will be a product of what is stored, treasured. The mouth speaks. See, your influence, your impact, it's going to come out of your heart. So it's important what kind of heart we have. And I want to talk about that for just a minute, because I want to tell you, if you want to lead like Jesus, oh, we got to have a good heart. We can't have a heart that's full of junk and lead like Jesus. That won't ever work. Proverbs tells us in chapter 4 and verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The NIV, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You got to guard it, keep it with all diligence. You got to stand guard over your heart. Be careful about what gets down in your heart, because it's going to come out in your life and it's going to influence and impact those around you for good or bad. And we got to go fast here because we're going to be done by 8:35. But one of the ways that you keep your heart and you protect your heart is that you have to be wise about what you put before your eyes. Psalms 101, verse 2 and 3 says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. You know, you can't control everything that you see, but you can control a lot of it. You can turn that TV off. You don't have to watch the stinking news every day. You say, I got to know what's going on in the world, all the horrible things. I need to know every horrible thing that's happening. I want to tell you something. Jesus never watched the news. What century do you live in, preacher? I know. I'm just telling you, though, most people, they're so full of all this garbage that it's hard for anything good to come out. You need to be careful on that internet. And I'm not just talking about pornography. I'm talking about Facebook. People just soaking up, eating up all this garbage all day long. And then guess what comes out? Yuck. You need to guard your heart. And one of the ways you do that is you have to be careful about what you look at, what you put before your eyes. Guard your heart. You got to be careful about what you listen to. Proverbs 26 and 22 says, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Do you know when you listen to gossip, that stuff gets down in your heart? How does stuff get in your heart? Well, stuff you see, stuff you hear, stuff that you think about, that you dwell on, it gets down in your heart. Here's what we're supposed to be doing. Ephesians 5:19 says we should be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, you use your eyes and your ears to put good stuff down in your heart, uplifting stuff, encouraging stuff, faith-building stuff. Put the word down in your heart. And guess what will come out in your life? Guess what your impact, your influence, your leadership will be? We're going to lead like Jesus. I'm telling you, you got to change the heart. You got to have a good heart. And one of the ways you do that is you got to guard it and protect it. To lead like Jesus, we have to lay down our lives. Verses 11 and 15 of John chapter 10, Jesus tells us that he gives or lays down his life for the sheep. Everything that Jesus did was for others. I mean, it was all for us. Everything that he did. He didn't come to this earth for himself. He came to serve, not to be served. That's what he said. He came to save us, to seek and to save that which was lost. Everything that he did was for us. He laid down his life. One of the big mistakes that many Christian leaders, and I want to say that plainly, I expect it of the world, but one of the big mistakes that Christian leaders make is to think that somehow leading is something that they get to do for themselves. Listen, when we are leading, when we're influencing others, when we have the opportunity to be in any kind of leadership, whether position or otherwise, listen, it is never about us. It's never for ourselves. In fact, it's a scary thing when a Christian leader is in it for themselves. No, it's always about other people. And if we're going to lead like Jesus, well, we got to lay down our lives. Here's a message that is not popular, but it needs to be preached. It's Luke 9, 23 and 24. In fact, this is a great leadership principle, but it's also just a basic principle of the Christian life, of following Jesus. Jesus says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Deny himself. I know that our youth pastor is talking about that very verse tonight. He told me a little bit of his message. But I'm just telling you, you rarely ever hear this preached on TV. And I'm not knocking TV preachers. I'm just saying this is not a popular message. It is Jesus' message. He said, if anyone would come after me. Well, I'm a Christian. Man, they are a dime a dozen. Calling themselves a Christian, but they don't follow Jesus. He said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. See, you can't really lead like Jesus if you're not willing to lay down your life. But I'm going to go the next step and just tell you, you can't really follow Jesus if you're not willing to lay down your life, because Jesus laid down his life for us. He was willing to give his all. Look at verse 24. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. See, we don't really find life until we are willing to lay our life down. You know, next to Jesus, the Apostle Paul was such a great influence and leader. 1 Corinthians 15, 31, he said, I die daily. Now, I'm not just real super spiritual, and I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not the most spiritual person you know, I can assure you. But there are days when I know I just have to say, Mark, you have to die. You're not going to do what you want in this situation. You're not going to do what you want today. You're going to die today. And I'm just telling you that if we're going to lead like Jesus, we got to deny ourselves. We got to put ourselves, our wishes, our wants, our desires on hold. But let me tell you something. When you do that, oh, how God will totally fulfill you. How he will bless you. How you will never regret it. Some people think being the leader means that you get to do what you want. Now, some dads think that if they're the head of their house, that means they get to have the TV controls and I get to watch whatever I want because I'm the head of my house, and too bad for the rest of y'all. That's not leading like Jesus. I knew a youth pastor one time who didn't really like teenagers. And so he allowed 30-somethings to come to his youth events. And he couldn't stand the junior high, the 13-year-olds, you know, they just got on his nerves. And so the only fellowship he ever planned was they went out to eat What are you doing this week? We're going to go out to eat. What are you doing next week? We're going to go out to eat. What about the week after that? We're going out to eat. He just wasn't interested in the 13-year-olds, and I'm telling you, he had no influence on their life as a result. I want to tell you this, as a parent, as a mom and dad, or if you work with kids and teenagers at all, or anybody as far as that matters, when they become convinced that you love them and only want what's best for them, that you're not just trying to get your way, that you're not just in it for yourself, but you really do want what's best for them, that's half the battle. If they think you're being selfish, oh, there's going to be trouble, I can assure you. Teenagers and children, they need to see that you're willing to sacrifice for their well-being. I want to clarify, not for their wants and desires. Well, you're going to eat a bologna sandwich every day so you can buy your kid an iPhone. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you're willing to turn off the game with your favorite team and go to their game. Lead like Jesus. You're going to have to lay down your life to lead like Jesus. To lead like Jesus, we have to care for those we lead. And I think you'll see that a lot of these are all intertwined and connected, but may sound real cliche, I've said it many times, but it needs to be said because it's true. They don't care what we know until they know that we care. And it really is true. They don't care how smart you are. They don't care what you've been through and how you know better than them. And let me just tell you, listen, it doesn't matter who you're talking to. If they think that you're just, you know, a bag of wind, they're not going to listen. But if they think that you really care for them, then you've got an open door. He who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Why does he leave? Because he don't care. His motivations were shallow and wrong. And I'm telling you, you see, some people lead or they want to lead for the wrong reasons. They want to lead because of pride. Plain and simple, a lot of people in this world, they just want to lead because they want the prestige, they want the position, they want the recognition. Because they want to lead for the wrong reasons, they can't lead like Jesus. Jesus cares for the sheep. Remember, if you're going to lead somebody, you got to truly care for them. And you say, well, I don't know if I care for them. Well, you need to pray then. But I'm just telling you, if you're going to lead like Jesus, you got to care for those people. It has to be your motivation. I don't want to leave this out. Sometimes people want to lead because there's money involved. Oh, my. But our motivation for leading has to be because we care. When we lead because we care, our ambitions, our selfish ambitions, are laid aside. Matthew 9:36 says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw people in need. And notice this, he said, like sheep without a shepherd. They didn't have anybody to lead them. Jesus was moved with compassion for those people. And I'm telling you, so many people who we come across and their lives are a mess, they're lost. They need somebody to lead them. But it won't happen if we don't care. Don't let this angry spirit get on you where you just judge people and they're angry and act like a religious Pharisee. Jesus cared for people, and that's what made him such a great leader. We see people hurting, and I'm telling you, even if they are suffering the consequences of their own choices, we should have compassion for them and want to help them find their way. To lead like Jesus, we have to have a relationship with those we lead. Verse 14 of John 10, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known by my own. He says, I have a relationship with those that I'm leading. They know me and I know them. There's a relationship. And I'm telling you that if you're going to lead anybody, you got to have a relationship with them. Now, I know that you can influence people that you don't know. That's certainly true. Celebrities in our day have proven that again and again and again with the modern media. They are certainly able to influence, in a way, millions of people. But I'm going to tell you the straight up. Those that you will really impact for eternity are those that you have a relationship with. Jesus' influence works through relationships. And I want you to understand this. You see, in John chapter 6, Jesus fed the 5,000. Now, we all know that thousands and thousands followed him, right? I mean, people would just flock to wherever he was, and just thousands of people would follow him. But the next day, still in John chapter 6, the next day after he feeds the 5,000, as Jesus was teaching, and people didn't like what he was teaching, listen to what happened. Makes me feel good when people don't like what I'm teaching. But anyway, it's John 6, 66 through 69. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, the 12 stayed with him. Why? The relationship. They'd been with him. They knew who he was. They knew his heart. And they weren't leaving. And I'm telling you, those that you will have the greatest impact on are those that you have a relationship with. The greater the relationship, the more opportunity for impact, for influence, for you to lead them. And this is not just about the lost or your neighbors. I'm talking about your kids. Just because you're the mom or you're the dad, there's a lot of parents that don't have a good relationship with their kid. And I want to clarify, I'm not talking about you being the hip, cool parent that you're all buddy-buddy, I'm their best friend. And all. Now, I'm not saying you can't be their best friend, all right? But I'm talking about when you're trying to be Mr. Joe cool parent, you know. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that you are a loving, involved parent where you actually talk with your kid. You know what's going on with your kid. They know that you love them. They know that there may be times when you tell them no, that you lay down the law to them. There may be times when you discipline them, But there's a real relationship there, a closeness. And I'm just telling you, if you have that with your kid, you can be the greatest influence in your kid's life. Not some goofy celebrity or some lost 14-year-old. You can and should be the greatest influence in their life. But here's the key. It's a relationship. And if you want to reach your lost neighbor, I'm telling you, the key is relationship. You need to develop a rapport with them. They need, remember, back up, they need to know you care. It comes down to that relationship. To lead like Jesus. There's a word missing there in your notes. To lead like Jesus, we have to have a relationship with the Father. Verse 15 of John 10, he said, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. You can't lead others where you yourself are not going. I can tell you where the youth hall is, and I can send you. I can say, go out these doors and down that. But if I'm going to lead you there, I have to go myself. And if you're going to lead people into a closer relationship with God, guess what? You yourself have to be going there. You yourself have to have a real relationship with the Father. What kind of influence can we possibly be without a real relationship with our Father? Jesus said, my Father knows me, even so I know the Father. You can't lead others in a closer walk with the Lord if you don't have that. And how can we possibly be the right kind of spiritual influence on others if we don't have a relationship with God? We got to be close to God. We want to lead like Jesus. I'm just telling you, we got to have a real relationship with our Father. You know, Jesus said, I do what I see the Father do. I say what the Father tells me to say. See, if we want to really influence other people and lead other people like Jesus, man, we gotta be tight. We gotta be really close with the Father. When Jesus was here in the flesh, there were a lot of religious leaders teaching rules. And it's not much different today, really. It's just, you know, there's a new flavor, but it's still kind of the same old thing, you know. Everybody, they just make up their own rules. But Jesus taught people to have a relationship with the Father. He comes on the scene and he says, pray like this, our Father. And when he's talking about God, he almost never calls him God or Lord or anything else. He calls him Father. He says, my Father, in my Father's house. He had that father mentality. He had that kind of relationship. And I'm just telling you, if we're going to lead like Jesus, we got to have that kind of relationship because we want to lead other people into a real relationship. It's not just about teaching people rules. No, it's about connecting them with the Heavenly Father in a real relationship. To lead like Jesus, we have to always be looking for the lost. Verse 16, he said, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. You know, Jesus said that if a man has 100 sheep and he loses one, he will leave the 99 and go look for the one. And he tells us this story, this illustration, for us to understand the heart of God, that he always wants to bring the lost home. And Jesus tells us very plainly here that as the good shepherd, there's others that he wants to bring in. And I want to say to you, it can never be that our attitude is my four and no more. It can never be about a spiritual club. I know a man one time went to a church where a man had this attitude, and he would even say things like that. He didn't care if the lost came. They were carnal, and he didn't want them to mess up the church. He didn't want carnal people around. Didn't care if they came. And I've heard many times over the years people say things like, well, I don't really want the church to grow. I like it like it is. You need to have an experience with God. Because he loves them. How selfish could we be to not want us? You got to always be looking for the lost. Jesus said in John 4 and 35, he said, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. See, sometimes we got to lift up our eyes. We got to look around us and see. There are other sheep. And let me tell you, some of them out there, they are lost. Did you know sometimes lost sheep can be the easiest to lead? They're lost and they know it. They don't have a clue. Now, religious sheep, they can be really hard to lead. But I'm telling you, lost sheep, oh, there's people out there, they're so ready. Jesus said it is white unto harvest. They're so ready. Jesus loves them all. Let me tell you, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants them all. You know what? They're not all going to come to repentance. They have a free will. And there are many that will turn away from Jesus. You're not going to reach them all. And when you don't reach one or two or three, don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't stop trying to help and trying to reach, because there will be some that you reach and it changes their life and changes their eternity. Lead like Jesus. You got to be looking for the lost. He wants to bring them in. And you know, with those that we influence, those that we teach, even our own children, one of the most important things that we teach them as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a disciple of the Lord, is to care for the lost, to want to reach out to others and help others. Lead like Jesus. Wow, that's a tall order. I don't know about you, but I feel a little overwhelmed by that statement, lead like Jesus. But I want to. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to do better. And we need to follow his example as best we can. So I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'll let you be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for each of these that are here. And I know, Lord, that every one of them, Lord, can be used by you. And I pray, Father, that you would just speak to their hearts, that you would lead and guide their steps, that you would open the right doors and give them those opportunities, divine opportunities, Lord, to be an influence in someone else's life. I pray, Father, that you would give them wisdom. I pray you would give us, Lord, give us all compassion, care. Help us, Lord, to be willing to lay aside our own, Lord, in order to fulfill all that you have and to reach those that you want us to reach. I thank you for it all. I give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, bless you.